I'm not really a beach guy, so I don't have any desire to go lay and get. And now don't be offended by this, because I know some of you are very beach people, and I'm good with that. You can be a beach guy or a beach lady. I'm good with that. I just don't like to sweat and get stuck with sand. I don't like to look like a sugar donut when I get done. That's just not what I want to look like. And so I'm more of a mountain guy, but I've been on two beaches in my life. One was in the Gulf of Mexico right after Katrina, and it kind of looked like the junkyard. There was refrigerators and microwaves and different things sticking out of the beach. And the second one was in the Sea of Galilee. I spent some time walking on the beach in Sea of Galilee. It's not a huge beach, but as I was walking, and you could, just many of you have done this too, you see a shell, right? You see a shell. You see something else. And by the time you get done, you got a kind of a pocket full of something. You know, one, and there's lots of them. There's thousands of them. But certain things catch your attention, right? They catch your attention. You reach down and you pick that one up. You don't know necessarily why, you just do. It got your attention. Well, going through 2 Corinthians is like a walk on a beach. A couple of months ago, we took a walk on the beach and we picked up a few shells through the beach of 2 Corinthians. And the last couple of months, we have been navigating. Maybe you didn't know this, but I know this. We've been navigating and looking at each one of those shells that we picked up on the beach of 2 Corinthians. And the first slide will come up is that some of those shells, there's going to be trouble in the land, right? We talked about that. There's going to be comfort in the land. There's going to be hard work in the land. There's going to be divine power that's given to us right here in the physical land that we walk in. There's going to be prayers in the land. There's conduct that God would enable us and expect us, both enabling and expect us to have certain conduct that we would will demonstrate as the church. And then today is the support in the land. There's support in the land. And support simply means this: to keep stable. You can push the button to keep stable, right? If you look up the word support, it's to keep stable or bear weight or to provide for or to give active help to. That's support. And Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 1:16 is where this shell was picked up at. I plan to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia, and then to have you send me on my way to Judea. That "send me on my way" is a very unique phrase. The next one, in 1 Corinthians, he says this to the church one other time: perhaps I will stay with you a while, or even spend the winter with you, so that you can help me on my journey. It's the same exact word. So I can help you, help me, send me on my way, and to help me on my journey wherever I go. Those two phrases are powerful. I think it's on the next slide. Those two phrases, "send me on my way" and "help me on my journey," it simply means to fit me with what is needed to advance. The church, the people around Paul, had fit him with what was needed to advance him on his journey. I look at it as a backpack, and they were filling it up with what Paul would need for his journey. Now, there could have been an apple, and there could have been, you know, suntan lotion, whatever. I don't know. There could have been some of that in his backpack. But I have a feeling there were prayers that were written out for him that he could read along the way. There was maybe a calendar where each member of the church had signed up to pray for him a day. I came to think that kind of stuff was in his backpack as well. And they were filling it up. And God was using people to fill up his backpack so he could advance and take the next steps in his journey. So often God uses each other, people in our lives, to fill up our backpack so that we can take the next steps that God wants us to take. Now, I could go through the scripture and I could show you many places where that has happened. And I could pull up verse after verse where somebody has been supplied for someone else. But this morning, I want to draw a new lifer up here that knows this firsthand of what it takes, that people in life will help fill up the backpack so when God makes the step into their life, they are filled up with what is needed to take, simply to take the next journey, to take the next step, to go wherever I need to go. And so this morning, I'm co-preaching this morning with Aaron. And Aaron is going to come this morning, and he's going to talk about his journey just really over the last 8 months. We're going to tag team this, and that's a sign for you to come and slap my hand. They're going to... It's already on. So he's going to just really a little real life within the last 8 months of what God has done in his life. I'm going to sit here, and if he gets too long, I'll tackle him and take over.
Fair enough. So everybody, in case anybody doesn't know, I'm Aaron Byler. So 3 years ago, roughly, I lost everything and hit rock bottom. Divorce. On the edge of losing my family, and forgive me if I get emotional, but a man by the name of Dave Cunningham stepped into my life, gave me a job, and I was working with him and Matt Fox for a while, and I was hearing these guys talking about scripture and verses and things like that, and I was lost. I didn't know, I didn't pay much attention. Didn't really know the Bible very well. And so one day, Matt Fox said to me, he said, why don't you come to New Life and check it out? Because I was in the process of giving everybody excuses as to why I didn't want to go to church. So I said, oh, you know, all right, we'll try it. And I was dating who my wife now is, Julie. I was dating her. And I said to her, I said, why don't you come with me to New Life? We'll go check this out a Sunday. So we came here, and we really enjoyed it. So it was 3 weeks, maybe a month we were here. Dave Summers was going on a mission trip. And I thought about it a little bit. Renee Gunnett comes up to me as we're folding up chairs, and she says, I think you should go on this mission trip. They would be blessed to have you, and you would be blessed for going. So I didn't know how to take that, so I thought about it for a little while. And so I went. Ended up talking to Dave, went along. Spent a lot of time with Mike Jones, Tim Smith, got to know a lot of guys, met some cool people in New York. It was fun. We got back, and I kind of felt different, didn't know what to expect. And so we were working, and I it was a few weeks after that, Jeff Gunnett gives a sermon on prayer. And that was the one thing I really was no good at. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to even talk to God. So I didn't bother trying. And so at the end of the sermon, I talked to Jeff, gave him my number, said, if we could sit down sometime and talk, I would like to do that. So it was a week later or so, I sit down with Jeff, and we talk about some things, and he said, Aaron, you're on the right path already. He said, you know, God says seek and you will find, and you're already starting to seek him. So he was like, gave me some information. I went home, talked to Julie about it a little bit, and still was just, honestly, to get on my knees and pray, I felt like there was 500 people staring at me. I couldn't do it. I was uncomfortable. And Julie and I honestly talked about it for a month or so, and I said, we need to get on our knees and pray. And I heard a thing one time, a guy said, bent knees breaks chains. And that kind of hit me, and I was, didn't know how to take it. So we took an evening one night, and we prayed together, and it was maybe a week after that. I was at work another day, and we was actually on a roof that day. And just to rewind a little bit, years ago I was hit by a backhoe. Threw me 25 feet. I landed in a ditch, twisted up like a pretzel. A couple years after that, I found out that I had no L3, L4, L5, or L5S1 in my lower back. It was all bone on bone. I had lots and lots of pain in my back. I was self-medicating. I was doing everything I could to make the pain go away. So we were at work, And God spoke to me and he said, if you start to walk obediently, I can show you the life that you can have. So it was the next day, I got up and I had no pain. My body was completely pain free. And I didn't know what to think. So we were at work and it was 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning. God says to me, I took that pain from you to show you the life that you can have just by walking obediently with me. So I didn't say anything to anybody for a couple of days. And then one day, Dave and I was going somewhere, and I told Dave, and I said, you know, I think God took that pain from me to show me that this is real, this is happening. You start to pray and you talk to me, I can show you what life can be like. And Dave completely agreed with me. So it was a couple weeks after that, I made a comment to Julie that maybe we should get married. Be honest with you, it wasn't any fancy proposal. It was, we were just talking, and I said, if you want to get married, let's do it. So we did, and it was a few weeks after that, God spoke to us, and he said, you know, you guys should get married December 17th, which is the day that we started dating. So I sat down and talked to Joe DiStefano, who did the music for our wedding, and I had three kids. Julie had two. I was getting back on my feet. God was walking me through some trials and some things, and Julie and I were praying every evening now together, and God was working in our lives. And so I sit down with Joe, and Joe says, talking about blending a family together, and I had no idea how this would work. I was completely lost, completely baffled. And he gave me some information that I cherished, and I took it home, and we talked a little bit more about it, Julie and I, and we got married, and I can tell you this, that God brought our families together in the smoothest way possible. Our kids get along. Our family is now coming to church as a whole family instead of just two of us. I now have five kids who I love dearly. And God has opened my eyes to more things than I could possibly imagine. I walked a bad, bad life. I mean a bad life. For 20 years, it was bad. Chaos, disorder, drugs, prison. Anything you could possibly imagine, I've done or been part of. So we're married, and our family is blended together very smoothly, and I couldn't thank God enough for that. But I'm part of a prayer group that meets Friday mornings at Subway in Martinsburg, men's prayer group. And I had the honor to pray over my dad. A Friday morning, and to be able to pray a blessing over my dad as a restored man who comes from the pits of hell is amazing. And there's only way that that could happen is God working in my life and completely restoring me to an obedient, God-fearing man. And I'm here today to tell you that it doesn't matter what you're going through, what you're dealing with, if it's addiction, if it's this, if it's that, if it's abuse, it doesn't matter. If you talk to God and open up your heart to him and listen, he will completely guide you down whatever path you need to go down and show you the way to go. I've had people support me. My parents have been praying for me for 30 years. My dad told me one time that he said, we prayed to just have God do what he needed to do with you, whether it's to throw you in jail for years and get out and clean you up, or if it's to do whatever. But we finally put our hands up and said, God, he's in your hands, and we're praying that he will, that you will protect him, bring him out of it. And 25 years later, here I stand, completely restored, and like I said, to be able to pray a blessing over my father on a Friday morning is one of the greatest honors I've ever had in my life. And I can't thank God enough for the things that he's done in my life to bring me back, like I said, from the pits of hell, because I was in it completely, and it was nothing but chaos and disorder the entire time. So I've had people support me. I've had people walk beside me. Dave Cunningham and Bobby Cunningham have supported me through a lot. And they took a chance on me when they didn't know what I was going to do or what I was capable of. But they still took a chance on me and supported me and given me advice and just talked to me whenever I was completely lost. And I can't thank them enough for that. But I've had support and people just come beside me and walk with me through this journey. And it's been, like I said, the last 8 months have just been blessed, and God has blessed my family and I beyond our wildest dreams. And like I said, I've lost everything to where all I had was a pair of shorts, a pair of shoes, and a t-shirt. No home, no nothing. And he brought me back to a fully restored man with a job, a home, and a loving family who now is willing to come to church and listen to Pastor Ed talk. So, and I, that goes to the people that have come and just talked to me. You know, I give God all the glory for the things that he's done in my life. And it's an amazing feeling to wake up in the morning and just ask God, what do you need me to do today? Whether it's just to talk to somebody at a Sheetz. I talked to two ladies at a Sheetz the other day that turned into a 20-minute conversation about Jesus, because her son had been through some of the same things that I had been through. And I was able to stand there and tell her the story that I have and that God has brought me out of it. And it just, you know, the hope that it gives people is amazing to be part of. And I picked a guy up two Saturdays ago. I was driving up to Roaring Spring, and I got past McCoy's, and it was raining and drizzling and this and that, and half chilly out. And I see a guy walking past McCoy's. So I said to myself, if I come back down through town and he's still walking, I'm going to pull over and pick him up. So I had my youngest daughter, Quinn, with me, and we went up, did some things that we needed to do, and come back down through town. By this point, he's walking past Yerdy's in the Gap. So I drove past him, and I thought, nah, I'm going to pick him up. So I turned around, went back. I said, hey, bud, you want to ride? Yeah. So he jumped in. I said, where are you headed? He said, Taco Bell. This young man was going to work, walking from Martinsburg to Taco Bell on East Freedom with no vehicle, just lost everything, had to move back in with his dad, and was just getting a job to get back on his feet. First of all, I commended him for working. I mean, I thought that was an amazing accomplishment. But we got to talking a little bit, and I asked him, I said, do you go to church anywhere? And he said, no. He said, I used to go with my mother, and that kind of fell apart. And I said, you know, there's a church a mile and a half up the road from where you work. You know, like you could go a Sunday morning before your shift, or maybe set up your shift that you could go, and then... And he's like, you know, I'll think about it. And I was able to share with him just a little bit of my story. And by the time he got out of the car, he wanted to get my phone number and asked if I'd be willing to help him down the road. And I'd give him my number, and I said, just call me if you ever need anything. That's what I'm here for. I said, you know, I've lost everything, and God has restored me tenfold, better than what I was before. And I'm, I just, So I hope this gives somebody some hope or gives somebody a reason to just ask God to help them or talk to somebody about something, or it doesn't matter. But there's people in this congregation and there's people out there that will come up beside you and help you and pray with you and pray for you, and that God will open doors for you and continue to walk with you if you're willing to let him guide you. So that's pretty much the extent of it. So I'm going to give this back to Pastor Ed.
Let's take that to your seat in just case I ask you something.
You told me that.
Yeah. I met with Aaron a couple times, and I said, Aaron, I don't want you to have to exegete the scripture, right? That's not what I'm asking you to do here. I'm asking you just to give what God has done in your life. And I said, we'll co-do this together. I'll exegete the scripture. You give the real life situation that God has had. I just got one question. Are you a doctor? Okay, I turned that off. So when you say you're self-medicating, No. You weren't writing yourself prescriptions, right?
No, it was okay. All street drugs.
Okay. I just want to make that clear, that self-medicating, he was covering up something that was in his life, perhaps physical pain or psychological pain, spiritual pain, whatever it was, he was covering up, and God freed him from that. But he did that, you know, because he had support in the land, because there were people around him that spoke into his life. You know, in John 11, we see the story with Lazarus, right? Take away the stone, Jesus said. Take away the stone, because God's going to do something in his life. But he needed people to go in and remove the stone. Now, would Jesus have done something in his life if they hadn't removed the stone? Would it have mattered if he was alive and still in captivity in that tomb? Jesus wanted to do something in his life, but he invited people to come alongside and take a risk on him. And I have a feeling that Pap and Graham Smith have taken a risk on this young man. And raise your hand. His grandparents are here. They are the ones, and his mom and dad are here. They are the ones who stood outside the tomb and crying out to Jesus for their son. They were relentless on crying out for him. And they were the ones that were removing the stone because God wanted to do something in this young man's life. And when God did that, he needed to get out of the tomb. So his family was there. So if you've got a family and you're still crying, stand next to the tomb. Continue to cry out for them. Continue to move that stone out of the way so Jesus can do something in their life. You might have been crying out for years and years and years and years. And I heard Aaron say, my dad told me one time, we just gave you over to Jesus because we didn't know what else to do. That's a powerful thing to do. But as Jesus was doing something in Lazarus' life, Mary said, oh, of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor. Again, if you're reading from the King James, it will say, by now he stinketh. Do you know how upside down his life is? Do you know how bad it is in there? Do you know how much he stinks? Do you know how much trouble he's been in? Do you know what kind of the stuff follow him along? But somebody took a risk. Stand up, Dave Cunningham. You didn't know I'd do this. By what Heron just said, you were one of the ones that took a risk on him. I'm telling you, Aaron's got a testimony, but he's got a grandparents too. Aaron's got a testimony, but he's got a mom and a dad. Aaron's got a testimony, but he's got a brother that took a risk on him. Jeff, stand up. And he's got another brother that would preach a message that would intrigue him to ask more questions. And another brother that would give his phone number. that would come alongside and not knowing what he's going to get to when he gets on the other end. And if you knew the whole conversation back and forth and what God was saying to Aaron and what God was doing, he needed Jeff to come alongside of him and clarify that that was God. And then he needs another brother. Stand up, Joe. He needs another brother to help him blend the family. He took a risk and he come alongside a family. Three sons sitting right there. He come alongside a family. And he had another brother. Stand up, MJ. Stand up, Tim. He had another brother. I know I didn't tell you this, but stand up. I didn't tell you this because I wanted you to be here. Two brothers that went on that mission trip with him. Worked alongside of him. I don't know if he had a deep theological discussion or not, but you were there. You were alongside a guy that was wrestling with something. You can sit down now because his grandparents and his parents have been praying for years. Because a guy took a risk on him. Because a guy spoke something into his life that he wanted. Because another guy was willing to come alongside and give some advice. There are people that will go with you. And Paul had a backpack that was empty for his trip, and he needed the church to fill up his backpack. Church, we need to fill up each other's backpack. Because look at that story goes. It says, then Jesus said, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up to heaven. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know you always hear me, but I say this for their benefit, the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Then when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Aaron, come forth. Boom! Life had come to him. And he walked out that open tomb. He had life, but he was still, we see in the scripture, the dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped in strips of linen and the cloth around his face. And Jesus said to him, Church, go and free him. Woo! Get close to someone. I know that Lazarus was living. I know. And as I told Aaron last night, I've done autopsies. I've assisted in autopsies. When someone is dead at 3, 4, 5 days, things begin to change. How would you like to be the guy or the lady that went up there and started to unwrap this dude? Life had come. But I think the linen still stunk like death. And he needed to get it off of him. He had to have someone take a risk and come alongside of him and unwrap him so that he could live, so that he could walk. Julie, all the way up here, young lady. Probably a month after all this has happened in Aaron's life, Julie comes to Christ in a Monday night group. You know what the beautiful part of it is? He didn't have to choose between Julie and Jesus because Julie come along. Amen. There is power in this couple. And Julie is doing a work too, and Julie's got this testimony, but I can't, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has in store for these two. And it started with Grandpa and Grandma. Ooh. You can sit down now. I don't know where you're at today. But there are people around you that will fit you with what is needed for the journey ahead. I understand that Lazarus had to come out of the tomb. I understand that there's part his responsibility. And I understand, and I'm not going to read the scripture, but the man on the mat that the four brothers brought to Jesus, and Jesus gave him life, I understand that he was the one that needed to stand up and take the next steps. But where would he have been without the four guys? Where would Lazarus have been without those to roll away the stone? Where would Lazarus have been if he had just tried to live life mummified? I think we got people that have life, but they're mummified. Because I don't think the church has taken a risk enough to step up alongside a stinking brother in Christ and unwrap him. Matt Fox, stand up. And Boaz. And it takes a brother to take a risk and say, you know what, coworker, I want to check out New Life. You can sit down. And every one of these people that I had stand up would say, to God be the glory. And I couldn't agree more. But we are the hands and the feet of Jesus. And walking with someone who is in need will be part of their transformation. Church, we need to walk with those. We need to pick them up alongside the road. We need to take a risk. We need to speak truth into our life when the time is right, but so saturated in love. Not condescending or not judgmental from the street's corner. But spoke truth, loving in truth. And watch God restore a man, restore a relationship, and raise up five kids. Just so you know, there's more Aarons in this world. Am I right? His story has got some unique turns, but it's not unique, totally. There's a lost world that needs Jesus. Dave Summers is one that led that trip. So take MJ and Tim. Dave, stand up. Dave is a prayer warrior this week. He's been praying all week for this moment. He and Emily. But he sent me this. You can sit down, Dave. He sent me this verse. Go to the, I think it's the last slide. Take me to the last slide, please. Finally, brothers and sisters, we instruct you, we've instructed you how to live in order to please God. I love this parenthetical. As in fact you are living. You're getting it done. Now we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ to do more and more and more. Paul is coming alongside of those that are getting it right. He said, I ask and urge. I speak truth into your life. I love on you. Take another step. So whether you're just out of the darkness, as Aaron has given testimony, or whether you've been really fervently walking with the Lord for years, you still need someone to urge you and to invite you to go deeper and deeper and deeper. We'll never get done needing people. The church is here to walk with each other and to walk with people that don't know Jesus. Jesus says in Matthew, it's not on the screen, but Matthew 28, he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I have commanded you. Just so you know, that's not a preacher verse, that's a church verse. Disciples are church. Feel free to baptize your neighbor after you lead them to Jesus in your own pool. Gather the whole neighborhood. Because that's what that command is saying. Walk with people. Meet them where they're at. Take a risk on them. Aaron, thank you for sharing your testimony. And thank you, Grandma and Grandpa, Mom and Dad, brothers and sisters in Christ, because we're reaping the benefits of your years and years and years' work. Now, right back to his dad on a Friday morning. The son asking God to bless his dad so his dad could do more and more and more as he walks it out with God. That's good stuff. Jesus not done yet. How about it, guys? I'm looking at you three. He ain't done yet. How about it, you ladies? You can just shake your head. He's not done. They still don't know about me. If you're going alone, stop it. Trust someone else to roll away your stone. Trust someone else to help you get unwrapped. Trust someone else to carry your mat. Trust someone else to urge you. Trust them. How about a new life? No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has in store for those who love him. How about it? Stand with me today. Father, I know that in times of life, in my own life, I've tried to go alone, and I know that's not a good advice. I know there's times when I spend time alone with you. I get that. But Jesus, you sent out the disciples two by two. You raised up 12 guys, not just one. You birthed the church, not just to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, but to be the church, to go into this world, to roll away stones, to unwrap people from death, to carry mats, to urge people, to love on people, to speak truth into people's lives, to give people help as they don't know how to deal with a situation in their life. All saturated in love. Father, I don't think I'll ever forget Grandma Smith here raising her hand in victory. Thank you for what you've done in Aaron's life and Julie's life and this Byler family life. Do it again, God. Do it again, Jesus. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again in that young man that works at Taco Bell. Do it in his life, even as we pray for him right now. Shine on him, God. Let him call Aaron this afternoon. Do it again, God. Do it again. Do it again. Father, thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for the redemption. Thank you for the restoration. Thank you for what you've done in Aaron's life. And thank you for what you're going to do in our lives and what you're going to do in the next guy or the next lady that comes through the door or out of the tomb. Father, here we go today. We are the church. We've come this morning. We have released our worship. The testimony and the word has been released. And now we're going to release the church into a world that so desperately needs Jesus. So, Father, I'm not going to ask you to go with us because I'll definitely screw it up. So may I go and may we go with you today. You lead us, God. You direct us. I don't care if it's at the Spring House for lunch. I don't care if it's at Walmart. Help us be the church wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.